You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. Microsoft is piloting a new project to increase and support local news in four cities across the country, including Fresno. KVPR was among the newsrooms chosen for the collaboration, along with the Fresno Bee, Vida en Ovalle, and Radio Bilingue. To learn more, I spoke with one of our reporters, Mati Bolaños, and our news director, Alice Daniel. Also joining the conversation, project director Rebecca Plevin and Radio Bilingue Director of National News and Information, Samuel Orozco. So, Alice, I know that you, like me, are a big believer in the importance of local journalism. Tell us why it's so important to you, and how is this new project going to support local journalism here in the Central Valley?
Sure. So what Microsoft is doing in this pilot program is it's utilizing its tech expertise, resources, and funding to initially help four cities in the U.S. preserve and expand local news. And, you know, why such an emphasis on local news? Well, many of us know, and maybe not enough of us know, that a healthy democracy relies on well-reported local news. And local news in the U.S. right now is kind of hemorrhaging. It's a huge concern in terms of disinformation and the kinds of places people are looking for news now. They need fact-based, good local news in their communities. And in the past 15 years or so, 2,100 newspapers have closed, and the pandemic has put even more stress on newsrooms. There's been massive job cuts. So it's something that we really need to be paying attention to. And we're fortunate that Microsoft chose Fresno and three other cities and their surrounding region. So they chose Fresno, El Paso, Texas, Jackson, Mississippi, and Yakima, Washington, in part because of third-party recommendations talking about the kinds of news we're already covering. We're already looking into communities and working hard to, you know, hear the voices of people that don't typically get heard. But the fact also that these places are diverse, they appreciate local news, they're already doing this interesting community reporting, but we need more local news. And so the pilot programs are kind of a collaboration of local media, including ethnic media, and it gives us all a chance to work together and expand our reach in both print and radio, and also rely on each other for sources, resources, and story ideas. For example, you know, we all have our different areas that we cover. In our newsroom, we have three reporters, so we don't get to cover everything. We do some things really well, but we can't cover everything. And so with this collaboration, we'll be able to do more and reach a wider audience, hopefully. Hopefully, you know, this has the potential to elevate local journalism and keep the Valley better informed on key issues. And in terms of like what we will cover, we know that we want to cover COVID-19 and we want to cover underserved communities and essential workers, because we know that over the next year, there's going to be a major fallout from COVID and people are going to continue to suffer because of it. And it's important that we cover that news. And Rebecca Plevin and I, Rebecca is the project director, and she and I have been talking about this a little bit more, but I'll go ahead and hand it over to you and Rebecca, because I think she could speak to this more in terms of, you know, what kinds of stories we want to cover.
Yeah, absolutely. Rebecca, tell us your vision for this project and how it perhaps has been informed by the kind of reporting that you've done in the past.
Sure. Thanks, Kathleen. So, you know, through this collaboration, I'm hoping that we are able to investigate how communities of color in the Central Valley have been disproportionately impacted, you know, physically and financially by COVID-19. I am coming to this project from the Desert Sun in Palm Springs. I was a reporter there for 3 years covering immigration, and I covered both immigration at the border. I also covered how farm workers were impacted by COVID-19 and their access to the coronavirus vaccine. And then previously, I actually spent about 5 years working in the Central Valley, both for Vida en el Valle, which is a bilingual paper, which is part of this collaboration, and for Valley Public Radio. I was a reporter many years ago. So I'm just really excited to be back in the Central Valley and focusing on these really important issues. You know, I'm hoping that we are able to introduce our audience to essential workers who have labored throughout the pandemic, you know, have gotten sick while working through the pandemic. I hope that we can introduce our audience to families that have lost incomes over the past year and have struggled to make ends meet. You know, the Central Valley is such an interesting place to report because it is a vast area. So we are hoping that our reporting will, you know, go into the Central Valley's agricultural fields and the rural communities that are far from the city centers. And we'll do this with the goal of, you know, fostering a deeper understanding of the realities that many in our communities face. You know, I hope that we'll also identify the barriers to, you know, healing and recovery to, you know, as we explore whether there is this fallout, as Alice mentioned, we'll identify these barriers to healing and recovery, as well as the people and policies that are striving to, you know, bridge those gaps and bring around recovery after this unprecedented year that we've all been through. And so I'm just really excited about the opportunity for, you know, reporters at the B and Valley Public Radio and Vida en el Valle to work together to tell these stories. I'm really excited about the opportunity to share these stories over the airwaves of Valley Public Radio and Radio Bilingue. I think we have a really great opportunity to strengthen local news and tell really deep stories about this region.
Yeah, and really elevate all of the work that these different organizations are doing independently, you know, by working together and working collaboratively. It's going to be really interesting to see what comes out of this. You know, our own Mari Bolaños has been doing phenomenal reporting on immigrant communities here in the Central Valley. Mari, I would love for you to talk a bit about how the work that you have been doing is going to connect with this collaboration and your role within this project.
Yeah, I cover immigration and underserved communities, and I have been for the last year. And so that means going into small towns like Fireball and Mendota and speaking to these people and how they're affected by the pandemic. And it's different everywhere you go. In Fireball, there are family-owned businesses that are struggling to make ends meet. And in other places, there are farm workers who are struggling to find access to the vaccine or to make appointments or to get information in their language. So speaking with them has been very helpful and will continue to be helpful in contributing to this project that I'm so excited is finally rolling out. So I've already been doing some of this reporting. When I was in Fireball, I focused on restaurants and how they're faring throughout the pandemic. And I actually spoke to one business owner who is the restaurant owner at Don Pepe. And he talked about the struggles to get financial aid during this time. He applauds the work of getting PPE from the county, but he really emphasized that he doesn't have any money and he doesn't know how he's going to continue to support this business that supports his family.
They give us masks and hand sanitizers, yes, but that doesn't help much. They can have a big round of applause for that, for sure. But what we need now is money.
And then earlier in the pandemic, UC Merced came out with a study that showed undocumented women were being the most affected in terms of job loss. And I had the opportunity to speak to Maria, who is in Merced, and she is undocumented and chose not to share her full name for that reason. But she talked to me about being a housekeeper and making pretty good money. Before the pandemic, she helped clean about 4 houses a week. And like I said, it was good money for her, but she's also older and so are her clients. So once the pandemic hit, she was afraid to go to work and they were afraid to have her at work. They were trying to mitigate their risk, but of course that weighed heavily on her finances. And here she is as well.
It hit all of us. And we all came out of it around the same time, except for my wife. She is still not doing well.
Not working has affected me a lot because I have no money and I don't receive any government aid.
You know, so many people in our community get their news from non-English media outlets or ethnic media outlets like Radio Bilingue, which is a part of this collaboration. Samuel, tell us about the role that you will play individually and your organization is going to play in this project.
Well, let me tell you first that we are very excited to join this collaboration. with the Fresno Bee and with KBPR. And the idea is basically to amplify the voice of those most impacted by the pandemic in the valley, who in a valley that has been at times a hotspot of statewide and national proportions. And some of the most impacted people tend to be Spanish-speaking people, Latinos, farm workers, migrants, who are hard to reach with needed information. So what we are looking forward to in this collaboration is, A, we are expecting to give the collaborative access to stories generated by our interactive calling programs, by our reporting, that could be of a benefit to other media. Sometimes we hear from farm workers who report, for example, co-workers who come to work while having tested positive for COVID, or workers who are unable to isolate themselves after being exposed to someone infected with COVID, or people who report the fears about using public benefits or public help, like housing, for isolation due to immigration concerns, or we hear from listeners about misperceptions about the vaccine, the fear that the vaccine is going to come with a microchip that is going to track the undocumented or the secondary effects or complications due to the vaccine, or the fact that the vaccine is so new. So those are the kind of things that we listen to from farm workers or essential workers in general who call in to our interactive programs. So we expect to provide that kind of access to those stories, to that information, to the collaborative. At the same time, we would greatly benefit from accessing the local data that's being generated by the collaborative, data on COVID cases, on testing, on vaccines, on housing, on other public services that reporters at the collaborative will be generating through these months. And all the stories from the field reporting and other stories that the team is going to be able to create, both on KBPR and the Fresno Bee. So we could greatly benefit from that. I think I second also, I agree with the comments made previously by my colleagues about how all this information is going to benefit local journalism, local reporting in general. I think it's going to inject a tremendous degree of dose of energy into local journalism. And this is going to, I think, impact the overall health of the community, since all this information is going to help local citizens to make decisions, you know, sometimes critical decisions, life or death decisions in terms of how to protect themselves from the pandemic, or how to access testing, how to access vaccines, how to access emergency aid, where, all the way to informing the decisions in terms of voting for local offices or voting for state offices, etc. Local journalism in that sense is going to play, continues to be playing a significant role. So the fact that we are joining forces is going to help to amplify, to magnify the voice of so many of the local citizens, especially those that are hardly heard in the national media or the statewide media.
Rebecca, I'd like to come back to you. This conversation has made me think about the way the media gets the immigration story wrong. And I'm wondering if you could just talk a bit about some of the challenges associated with covering immigration stories and some of the misperceptions that have been perpetuated as a result of maybe those challenges.
Yeah, that's a great question, Kathleen. I think from my experience, I mean, immigration is a challenging topic to cover because it is it has become a really polarizing issue in our country. I mean, you see in Washington, D.C., they're again discussing immigration reform. This is something that has, you know, that Congress has dealt with or has tried to deal with for years and years, because it is a really polarizing issue. But when it comes down to it, I mean, you have millions of people in this country who came here. And a lot of, you know, a lot of people now are, you know, especially after the past 4 years, you have a lot of immigrants who are, you know, especially undocumented immigrants who are really scared right now, who have, you know, had to live in the shadows for a long time. And, you know, reporting, one of the challenges of reporting is that, you know, people have been afraid, and it is, you know, challenging to sometimes connect with people and share those stories, even though I think sharing those stories is a way. I'm a real believer that sharing stories is a real important way to bridge understanding between communities. You know, and I think this story becomes especially interesting here in the Central Valley, where, you know, agriculture is the main driving force of this region, you know, and a lot of, you know, agriculture in many ways is powered by farm workers, many of whom are Latino, many of whom are immigrants, some of whom are undocumented immigrants. And so this story becomes really, really important, and understanding becomes really important because, you know, farm workers are such, and the people who work in the agricultural industry are such critical parts of the Central Valley community. You know, there are all sorts of myths out there about immigration, and I'm hopeful that, you know, through our reporting, we will, you know, just be able to bring, you know, continue to elevate voices and provide real facts and truth that hopefully will, like, bridge some of that polarization.
I could only add to this the fact that, yes, I think it is especially important in these days, in the days when immigration and immigrant communities in particular have been the target of so much misinformation and been the center of these cultural wars. It is so important to make the voice of immigrants, especially those working on essential jobs, being part of the public dialogue and make them visible players at a time, again, when they are becoming basically the ones who are providing the worst. They're becoming the ones who are falling victims of COVID in the largest numbers of infected and hospitalizations and dead people. So at this time, I think it is much more important to have them on the public table, let's say, on the public sphere, being part of the dialogue, being part of the conversation, and we would be more than happy to be part of that collaboration, of that effort to make immigrants and essential workers part of this public conversation with the rest of the public.
Well, before we wrap up, Alice, I'd like to give you the last word. What are some of the other benefits that are associated with being a part of this collaboration with Microsoft?
Apart from the funding, which has allowed the Fresno Bee to hire Rebecca as a project manager, Microsoft has also been offering, you know, online training, including some basic audio training that I think has been good for print media. Also giving us information about, you know, how to track disinformation, how to use data journalism to support what we're working on. And I think, you know, one of the best benefits is the fact that there are three other cities with media doing the same thing. And I think that we have the benefit of also being in touch with them and seeing what they're doing, how they're combating misinformation or tracking it, or what are they doing to make sure communities get good local news? Because what we all want out of this is an appreciation and an expansion of local news, because we know that that is, you know, one of the pillars of a healthy democracy.
I've been talking with Rebecca Plevin, project editor for the Central Valley Collaborative Lab, along with Samuel Orozco with Radio Bilingue, and Valley Public Radio's own news director, Alice Daniel, and reporter Madi Bolaños. Thank you all for being on the show, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what this collaboration brings to light in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen.